thanking God for you being here tonight. Because I know that you came to do something that I know you love to do, something that I love to do, and that's worship God. So grateful that you're here. If you're visiting with us, please stick around after services. Let us get to know you a little bit better. If you have any questions about what we do here or why we do the things that we do, please let one of us know. We'd be more than happy to answer any questions that you have. Well, let's go ahead and continue on in this hour of worship and the study of God's Word. Starting in Hebrews 11, the 7th verse. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of the household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of righteousness, which is according to faith. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And when he went out, not knowing where he was going, by faith, he dwelt in the land of promise, as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundation, whose builder and maker is God. If you would, flip with me to verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he looked to the reward. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he who destroyed the firstborn should touch them. And by faith, they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, whereas the Egyptians, attempting to do so, were drowned. Tonight, I'd like for us to look at trusting God. I want to thank Mark for leading that song, Trust and Obey, which is really the focal point of our entire lesson. It is trusting God and obeying God. And many of the verses in there show exactly what we're going to talk about tonight. So thank him for leading that song, and thank you all for singing that. Something that we discussed in our children's Bible drill was that the Bible is divided into two sections, the Old Testament and the New Testament. The Old Testament, the first section, deals primarily with two things. It deals with, one, people who trusted in God. In verse 7, we saw that Noah trusted in God, and as a result of that trust, built an ark to save himself and his family. We see in verses 8 through 10, Abraham, who trusted in God and left his homeland to go to a place where he didn't know where he was going, to live as a stranger in a foreign land. And then in verses 24 through 29, we see Moses, who trusted in God and led the Israelites out of Egypt. The Old Testament deals primarily with people who trusted in God. It also deals primarily with the results of that trust. I want you to notice the results of that trust, that they were blessed by God. They were blessed of God. Noah and his family were blessed as they were saved through the flood, from the destruction of the flood. Abraham was blessed by receiving the great promises in Genesis, the 12th chapter. Moses was blessed by being able to lead the Israelites home out of the land of bondage into the promised land. And why do we have these examples? Why does the Old Testament talk about these things? The reason why the Old Testament deals with these things is so when God talks about the coming Messiah, the hearer, the listener, the reader, people like you and me will trust in him and obey him. The Old Testament makes over 300 prophecies concerning the Messiah. Three concerning his birth are, one, he would be born of a virgin. Isaiah, the 7th chapter, verse 14, tells us that he would be born of a virgin. Jeremiah 23, verse 5, tells us that he would be born of the house of David. He would be one of David's descendants, King David's descendants. And in Micah, the 5th chapter, verse 2, Micah tells us and prophesies that the Messiah would be born in the city of Bethlehem. And as the Old Testament closes, God's people, the people who trusted in God, anxiously awaited the coming of the Messiah. For the rest of our time tonight, I'd like for us to look at two people at the start of the New Testament who trusted in God and were blessed for their trust. So if you would, turn over to Luke, the 1st chapter. We're going to be reading verse 26 through 38. Luke, the 1st chapter, verses 26 through 38. What I want us to see here is I want us to see that Mary trusted in God. Now, in the 6th month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to the city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at the saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also, that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also already conceived in her old age, and this is now the 6th month for her who is called barren. For with God nothing will be impossible." Then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. In the beginning of our reading, we're introduced to the angel Gabriel, who comes to Mary in Nazareth. Gabriel had just come 6 months earlier to Mary's cousin Elizabeth to tell her that she was going to be pregnant with the man who would later become John the Baptist. Mary was a young woman. She wasn't married yet, even though she was betrothed at the time to a young man by the name of Joseph, who was a descendant of David, who was in the house of David, who was in the direct line of the kings. But they hadn't been officially married yet. They were legally married, but they hadn't physically been married yet. And in that sense, Mary was still a virgin. Gabriel comes to Mary and tells her in verse 28 to rejoice that she has found favor in the eyes of God and that she's going to give birth to Jesus the Messiah. Mary reacts how I imagine most people would, especially if they had not been with a man. She goes, "How can I be pregnant if I have not yet known a man?" Very sensible question. Gabriel answers, not to worry, but to trust in God. God is going to make it happen. In verse 37, he says, "With God, all things are possible. All things will be possible with God." And as a result, Mary trusts in God. In verse 38, she agrees to have the child. Now, if you would, turn with me over to Matthew, the 1st chapter, while keeping a finger in Luke. We'll turn back there in just a minute. But Matthew, the 1st chapter, verse 18 through 25. What I want us to notice here is that Joseph trusts in God and the difficulty of that trust. Starting in verse 18. "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call it his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be called, or shall be with child, and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her until she had brought forth her son, her firstborn son, and they called his name Jesus. At the beginning of Matthew 1, or at the beginning of our reading, Mary is already with child in a maternal way. She leaves for Judea for her cousin Elizabeth, because her cousin Elizabeth is there. Joseph finds out in verse 18 about Mary being pregnant. Joseph is a just man. He's a man that is concerned with following the law of God. And because he is concerned with following the law of God, he figures that his wife should be somebody who is concerned with following the law of God. And he finds out that Mary is pregnant, something that is not according to the law of God, an unmarried woman being pregnant out of wedlock. And so he has the mind that he's going to put her away. However, he's a kind man, so he wants to do it secretly. So not to harm her, not to cause her any more pain than already has to be. And while he's considering these things, an angel appears to Joseph in verse 20. And he appears to him in a dream and says to him, don't worry about Mary being pregnant. The angel says to him to trust in God. It says, Joseph, trust in God. The child is not of another man, but the child is of God. And the child is Jesus. The child is the Messiah. The child is the one who is going to save his people from their sins. Verse 21. And as a result, Joseph trusted in God. And he married Mary. And he did not know her until after Jesus was born, so she could be rightly called a virgin. Now turn back over to Luke, the second chapter, verses 1 through 7. And I want us to see the result of that trust. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was, while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered, and she brought forth the firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room at the inn. And in verse 21, it says, and when 8 days were completed for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Caesar Augustus at this time was the Roman emperor, and he wanted a head count on just how great his empire was, how many people he had at his command. So he wanted a census. So he called for the census, and as a result, everybody had to go to their own hometown. Everybody had to go to their own home city. Joseph, being of the line of David, had to go to Bethlehem, which is called the city of David, and took Mary with her, or Mary with him. Mary had to go anyway because she was also of the line of David, through the son of David, through the line of Nathan. And while they were there, Mary gives birth. And they call his name Jesus, which is God is salvation. According to what the angel said in Matthew 1:21, for he shall save his people from their sins. And to clear things up, He was Emmanuel. He was God with us. In John, the first chapter, verse 14, we see that the word that was spoken of in John, the first chapter, verse 1, was made flesh and dwelt among us. That word, that was God. God dwelt among us. And Jesus was that word. Jesus was God with us. And that's the account of the birth of Jesus. Two people who trusted in God, and the result of that trust being the birth of Jesus. Mary trusted in God and agreed to have the child. Joseph trusted in God and agreed to marry Mary and to keep her a virgin until after Jesus was born. And as a result, Jesus was born according to the prophecies. Luke 1, 26 and 27, He was born of a virgin. In Matthew 1, 1, He was born of David's line. In Luke 2, verses 4 through 6, He was born in the city of David, the city of Bethlehem. All according to the prophecies. This has been good for us to read the account of Jesus' birth. However, what does it mean for us? What does it mean for us today? What can we learn from this? I think we can learn two things. Well, a number of things. One, I think that we can see that the whole Bible deals with trusting God. We looked at Noah and Abraham and Moses in the Old Testament who trusted God. In the New Testament, we saw Mary and Joseph who trusted in God. And we could have looked at hundreds of other examples of people who trusted in God all throughout the Bible, Old Testament and New Testament. Because the Bible is all about people putting their trust in God. Now, we call ourselves people of the Bible. We call ourselves Christians, people who follow God's Word. If the Bible is all about putting trust in God, and we are all about the Bible, we need to be all about putting our trust in God. Something that's going to require of us, that's going to require us to obey His commandments, to trust and obey, as the song says. Something else the whole Bible talks about. The whole Bible deals with the result of people's trust in God. We saw how Noah and Abraham and Moses were blessed for their trust in God. We saw how Mary and Joseph were blessed for their trust in God. We could have looked at, once again, 100 other examples of people who were blessed by putting their trust in God. Because the Bible is all about God blessing those who trust in Him. And if we call ourselves people of the Bible, if we call ourselves Christians, if we call ourselves followers of God, if we trust Him, God will bless us too. One thing we really need to trust in God about is when He speaks of Jesus' return. When He says that Jesus is going to return and call all to the judgment seat of God. In Acts 1, verse 9 through 11, Jesus tells us that He's going to return again. He's going to return in the clouds. He isn't going to set foot on this earth again, as some would have you believe, but He's going to come in the clouds. He's going to return. In 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter, verse 10, God tells us that there won't be any warning signs. We can't look to the turmoil in the Middle East. We can't look at the crashing stock market. We can't look at anything else. It's just going to happen. And in Romans, the 14th chapter, verse 10, tells us that all will be judged. The good people aren't going to get a free pass, and the bad people aren't going to go straight to hell. We're all going to be judged, and we're all going to be judged according to our deeds. Revelation 20, verses 11 through 13. Those who trust in God, and those who obey God will be blessed by going to heaven. Those who do not trust God, they won't. Do you see why it's so important to trust God? Your whole eternity is at stake. So where will you spend your eternity? Will you trust in God and obey Him so He can bless you eternally? Or will you reject Him so He will have to punish you eternally in hell? The choice is yours, but I encourage you to make the right choice, to make the right decision, to trust in God and to obey Him. Repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins, and continue to confess Him, to continue to confess your trust in Him in every action, in every word, in every thought that you have, so He can bless you by allowing you to spend eternity with Him in heaven. Why wait any longer? Come right now as we stand and sing.